What is going on, crafters? Welcome back to another episode of Dig Straight Down with me, your host, Rebel JC. If this is your first time tuning into the podcast, I want to welcome you here. This is a podcast all about Minecraft updates, whether those are updates that are actually coming to the game, such as 1.21, the Combat and Wolf update, is that what we're going to call it? Or these are the updates that we would like to see come to the game. So if either of those things are interesting to you at all, you are in the right place. If you find yourself enjoying this podcast, I want to invite you to follow it wherever you are listening to it on. Maybe even leave a review if you can. And if you really, really enjoy it, why don't you send it to a friend who might also be interested? Maybe you have a friend that you like to play Minecraft with, or you have discussions about the current goings-on in Minecraft development and the way you would take it if you worked for Mojang. If those are the kind of conversations you have with somebody, well, that somebody really might enjoy this podcast, because that's the kind of stuff we like to talk about here on Dig Straight Down. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get started here with the Q&A segment. The Q&A segment is when I shine the spotlight on you guys and your opinions and thoughts and creativity when it comes to all things Minecraft. I usually ask you guys a question, and then I react to your responses. And a few episodes ago, I asked you guys this question. In your opinion, why is it rare to see Minecraft players using crossbows compared to normal bows? Now, it is no secret that while the crossbow is actually kind of a cool item in the game, the bow is just a classic and outpaces it at every level. Yes, the crossbow can do some pretty cool things, but the bow is just a reliable, steady, and powerful weapon to have, and is just far outshines the crossbow in the community. I hate to see that personally, because I want every weapon in the game, or every piece of gear, to really inhabit its own niche in Minecraft combat. I think that there are weapons in the game that are very well developed. I would put the axe right there. The axe is not too powerful, but it really comfortably inhabits its own little corner of the combat system. The sword, I would argue, is a little bit too much of a jack of all trades. It's just kind of good at most everything. I don't really love that about the sword, and that's why the sword is honestly the most common weapon. While the axe has its own pros, the sword is just always that most reliable thing that's just going to get the job done. And then, of course, you have outliers like the trident, unfortunately. One of my favorite things in the game, just because of how cool it is, it just falls by the wayside because it is honestly not that powerful compared to end-game weapons. We're actually going to have a new one in the mace, and we have yet to see how that's going to change the face of Minecraft combat, but this is a discussion about crossbows. So let's get into what you guys had to say. Pizza Balls says, besides faster charging speeds, I like the bow's benefits of flame and infinity. Great point. Yeah, the crossbow actually can be drawn faster than the bow if you have quick charge enchantment on it. You can actually load your arrow much faster than you can with a normal bow. But the enchantments are where it's at when it comes to the bow. The bow just has epic enchantments. Infinity is honestly one of those things that's kind of controversial out there. There's a lot of people who don't like infinity and would like to see infinity go because they believe it's too powerful. I don't know how I feel about it. I like infinity, but I can see their point. Oculus says, crossbows are much too slow for mob combat, and unless enchanted with quick charge and using fireworks, I can't see any PvP benefits. Good point with the fireworks, too. That is something that the crossbow can do that the bow cannot do, is actually shoot firework rockets. Now, how well that works in PvP, I've seen some people do it really well to great effect and take out many, many people, especially if they have quick charge and multi-shot on their crossbow. And then I've seen people really, really whiff and not do very well with it at all. So again, it feels like it's either a skill issue or It's just not a great weapon. Anna says it's harder to craft and it also loads slower. Now, here's another end of the spectrum. The base crossbow that doesn't have quick charge on it does load slower than the normal bow. But again, I will say just put quick charge on it and that solves that issue. It is harder to craft. You do have to have tripwire hooks and a lot of other materials. But the thing is, I never crafted a crossbow. When I get a crossbow, it's I hardly ever craft one. I always pick it up from a pillager or a piglin. I hardly ever craft them. So I either pick them up from a mob or I find them in a chest. So I don't know how much of a handicap it is that they can't be crafted very easily. But again, that just might be my experience. Mark says, because with a bow, you can spam close up. But with the crossbow, you have to reload for longer. With the bow, you can even like kind of shoot off a half-charged arrow. You just can spam arrows pretty quickly. With a crossbow, you can't do that. Energy Turtle reiterates that and says, normal bows are quicker to use, and crossbows are slightly more obscure. Anselm says, because crossbows are harder to get, slower, and don't have as good enchants, and have no noticeable damage difference. Now, that's something I should have looked at before going into this recording, is if there is a difference in damage. However, I think that because you can have a power enchantment on your bow, and I don't think you can have the power enchantment on your crossbow, that would really just negate any sort of damage that the crossbow can do in opposition to the bow. Silas says, because by spamming a bow, a player can deal way more damage, and it gets better with instant damage arrows and infinity. Great point. With instant damage arrows and infinity, spamming arrows is insanely powerful. I've seen people just melt through their opponent's health points just like butter. Like, it's crazy how powerful that is. And honestly, one of the best ways to kill a warden is to do this exact thing from a pillar, just raining arrows down right on them. That's the best way to take care of a warden, in my opinion. So you can't do that with a crossbow at all. Dragonfish says they take longer to charge up. As in PvP, a lot of people barely charge the bow at all, so they can land more shots. Again, this is more about the bow's ability to spam than the crossbow's inability to charge, because again, you have quick charge. And quick charge really does matter. But again, yes, you cannot spam shoot with a crossbow. And finally, Torben says, too long to reload and has too niche of a use, bows are more versatile. So I think, honestly, the thing that's really putting the bow up above the crossbow, in my opinion, is the fact that the bow has better enchantments and can spam. If the crossbow could spam or do something the equivalent of that, maybe you could argue multi-shot is that, but I don't really agree. And if the crossbow had damage-changing enchantments that or some enchantments that could compete against things like power and punch and flame, then I could see the crossbow becoming more popular, I suppose. But right now the bow just takes the cake because it has all the best enchantments, and it's really good for PvP because you can spam shoot with the bow. Well, guys, thank you so much for these thoughts on the crossbow. If you would like your thoughts on a Minecraft question read out on the show, go to this episode on Spotify and interact with the Q&A post there. Or you can go to Discord and do the same thing on the Discord channel dedicated to the Q&A segment. And I'll do my best to read as many of those as I can in a future episode. Speaking of the Discord link is in the description of this episode. It's a great place to go and chat with other people who listen to the podcast and play Minecraft and have a lot of opinions on Minecraft updates. But also, it's a good place to join in on the One Block Challenge. The One Block Challenge is a weekly challenge that I do here on the podcast where I give you guys a theme and challenge you to imagine a single block for Minecraft that has something to do with that theme. Now, today is Wednesday. That is the deadline for this week's One Block Challenge. If you haven't given me your idea, you better get on it before the day is over. The theme for this week is horses, and if you need a refresher on how this challenge works, please go to the description of this episode and read all the details there. Send them to me again before the end of today so that I can go through them all tomorrow and have them ready to read on Friday's episode. Well, guys, with that all being said, let's get into the main discussion of this episode. Now, being a Wednesday episode, this is when I go into the hypothetical updates that I'm creating. I do usually do a series of these kinds of episodes on Wednesdays. I have been working on the Friends and Pets update, or the Pets and Friends update. And this is an update where I'm taking a look at some of the issues and stuff that I think need to change about NPCs in the game and pets in the game, because those are two things that I think are very, very important in the game, and I think they need a little bit of love. Now, we have been seeing, thankfully, some attention being given to the tamed wolf in this update, this 1.21 update, with the addition of wolf armor and also the buffing of their health points. I think it's a great addition, and I wish that they would also look at the pets, like the parrots, the cats, maybe even the horses, the llamas, the camels, because I would consider those pets as well, because they, you can tame them with food, and revisit them. And so I've gone over some of those changes in past episodes that I wish would come to the game. So previously, we covered giving players more control over their pets by, one, using craftable copper horns that could summon or make them wander or make them follow the player. The copper horn was something that had been added to the game at one point and then was scrapped before it was, you know, officially added in the update. We also talked about improvements for villagers who suffer from really two main issues. First, they're extremely tedious to manage and move around. And second, they are too fragile and prone to getting themselves into deadly situations. The solution that I proposed is adding a craftable flute item that makes unemployed villagers line up and follow the player when used. Also, villages need better fortifications, like more lighting and maybe some partial fences and walls. Faster, more numerous iron golems and plank golems from Minecraft Legends could also better protect the villagers, and additionally updating villager pathfinding to avoid caves and other places where they get stuck and killed. That is really, really needed to keep themselves from wandering into dangerous situations. Now, on top of this, we had a new idea. Now, this comes from Anna, and it was mentioned many episodes ago in my episode about Echo Shards. And this idea was thought bubbles for NPCs. I would want this to be in the game in this update. Thought bubbles for NPCs, even hostiles. As you're encountering NPCs throughout the world, whether they are friendly, neutral, or hostile to you, you would eventually see a thought bubble appear above their head that contains some sort of pictograph or image of something. Not words, but it would be more picture-based. Now, these would not happen very often, so as to keep the visual, you know, game from being too cluttered, but these thought bubbles would relay useful clues about the world. They would also give personality to the NPCs. So I thought that was a great idea. And so going forward, I'm integrating this idea into this update. So in the Pets and Friends hypothetical update, thought bubbles for NPCs would happen. But now we're going to kind of turn a corner and talk about a mysterious NPC in the game that a lot of people probably haven't thought about. And this is the Allay. The Allay, I do consider it to be an NPC. It's not an animal. It's not a pet. You don't tame it. It kind of has its own personality. It appears to be somewhat intelligent. It is a person being kind of creature, similar to the villagers, the wandering traders, the pillagers, the illagers, all of those guys. I would put the Allay into that NPC category. So there are a few issues with the Allay. First, their pathfinding is horrible. They are always getting into trouble or getting stuck. Second, they have no home feature. And what I mean by this is that villagers, for instance, they stay around a village. And the village can be something that generates in the world or that a player can create. But Allays are either flying around freely and just going around their blind way, or they are following the player, or they are unleashed or otherwise imprisoned. And this just does not help them feel like intelligent NPCs. Third, they have a hidden feature that is impossible to learn, and this is the duplication feature. And finally, fourth, just an observation on my part. This is not really an issue, it's just an observation. They feel somewhat disconnected from the world. When you encounter Allays in the game, they're always imprisoned. So where do they come from originally? And are they connected to the Vex? Who are they? What are they? They are a mystery. All right, so first let's get into the pathfinding issue. Now, Allays are constantly getting stuck on corners. They are unable to navigate through trees very well. Or worse, they end up flying straight into hazards like lava. Their pathfinding AI really, really needs a overhaul. Now, to my eyes, it seems like the Allay has three modes. Following a player after being given an item, wandering free if they have no item, or working when they have an item and notice the same items on the ground. So those kinds of three modes, following, wandering, or working. Now, here's a suggested change maybe to fix this solution of their pathfinding, especially when it comes to wanting to move them around. Maybe after being given an item by a player, the Allay could try to sit on the player's shoulder like a parrot. If the player doesn't want to be followed or doesn't want the Allay to have them to be on their shoulder, the player could prevent this by wearing a chest plate, which kind of signals to the Allay, don't get on my shoulder. At which point the Allay would wander around the area with the item it was given. You could just take the chest plate off to allow the Allay to ride on your shoulder again. Allays who are not working could then try to follow Allays who are riding on a player's shoulders, so a player can transport multiple Allays. So say, for instance, you have two Allays and they're both sitting on your shoulders. No more Allays can sit on your shoulders. Maybe any more Allays in the area would sort of line up behind them, sort of like llamas, and try to follow them. But what if you want the Allays to simply wander free and live their own lives independent of you? Now, that brings us to the next issue, which means they have no home feature. Now, I talked about how villagers, they stay around a village, and this can be something that the player can actually create. But Allays are either wandering around freely, following the player, or are somehow imprisoned. So villagers wander around their villages carrying out their own business. Allays need that kind of life that is independent of the player's input, but still being able to be controlled by the player, I think, would be good. For instance, talking about the villagers again, if a player wants a villager to wander around their build, they simply make a small village with the presence of a bed and maybe a bell and a job site block. It really isn't that difficult. So I think Allays should have a similar setup. For an Allay to recognize a place as its home, maybe the player could simply have a note block or a jukebox in the area. The Allay would be able to wander free around that area, staying within a certain radius of the note block or the jukebox. And maybe for a little fun, the LA could even interact with those blocks, playing music at random times. Wouldn't it be really cool to have an LA DJ just randomly popping a disc into the jukebox? I think that would be really, really fun. Or for a simpler solution, although this is not something that I would prefer, the LAs might really just love villagers and attach themselves to a village and just live in a village alongside the villagers. So either one of those options, whether they can have their own sort of home set up and blocks that they like to be around, or they move into a village, either way, I think that kind of thing would help them feel less like a pet or an animal and more like an NPC, what I really think that they actually are in the game. Now, the third problem, they have this hidden feature, the LA duplication. From the wiki, if this is something that's unfamiliar to you, which I'm sure it is because hardly anyone knows about this feature, if an LA is given an amethyst shard while it is dancing due to a nearby jukebox playing any music discs, it splits into two LAs, itself and a new LA, and the amethyst shard is consumed. So that is how you duplicate LAs in the game. The problem is, and we've talked about this before, the game never gives you any clue that this feature exists. There's nothing in the game to lead you to believe that you are able to duplicate LAs. Now, we've talked about this before. Again, a simple solution would be to have jukeboxes and amethyst shards nearby where the player finds the LA. Or I like this idea. I think that this matches the igloo laboratory structure that you can find. A room in the woodland mansion with clues, as if the evoker was studying the LAs to try to figure out how to turn them into vexes. So you have maybe a diagram made up of items in an item frame that basically says amethyst shard plus music discs equals two LAs, you know, like just something very simple pictographically to give you the clues you need to kind of put the pieces together, similar to the igloo and the laboratory beneath the igloo. And tying it in with the evoker and the vex really would tie the LA more deeply into the world's lore. And that brings us to that observation that the LA feels really disconnected from the world. We don't know where they come from. They're completely alien. And honestly, they might be aliens. So one thing that I would like to do, and I don't know how they would do this, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do in the future, I would like to provide some backstory for the LA. Now, nothing, you know, explicit, but maybe some clues as to where they came from and who they are. Did they come from the overworld? Were they some sort of ancient fairy, you know, race that existed here in the world and then were captured by the pillagers? Or are they from a different world altogether? And can we go to that world one day? Those are just questions I have about the LA. But overall, the LA is a very fun NPC in the game. It has a lot of personality. I voted for it when it was up for the mob vote. I just think that it could be improved and made to feel more like an NPC and less like an animal or a pet that you need to control. Well, guys, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Send me your questions, your comments, and ideas to digstraightdowncast@gmail.com. The music featured on this podcast was created by Miles Roxalot, and I have been your host, Rebel JC. Until next episode, keep digging straight down. I will see you at Bedrock.